Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. We're about to have a conversation here with Marilyn Mosby. Marilyn Mosby is a former state's attorney for Baltimore City, and the Sun reports that she is going to be, maybe it's possibly going to be, candidate for Baltimore City state's attorney to take on Greg Bernstein if he chooses to run for re-election in the next election. Marilyn, welcome. Good to have you in the studio.
Thank you for having me, Mark. I appreciate the invitation.
It's good to see you.
You as well.
And folks, you can join us here at 410-319-8888. We want to hear what you think, your thoughts for Marilyn Mosby, who may be running for state's attorney. So I find this really interesting. First, you worked in Pat Jessamy's office.
That's correct.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose you supported Pat.
I did. I actually worked on her campaign.
I thought you did.
Uh-huh.
I thought you did.
I was 9 months pregnant working on her campaign.
But let's talk about why. Why would you jump into this race?
Okay. Well,
why would you consider jumping into this race?
First of all, I am exploring a run. Right. I am seriously exploring a run for several reasons. I've formed an exploratory committee, and I am seriously considering it because I'm fed up.
What are you fed up with?
I'm fed up with the Tavon Whites of Baltimore getting off. When everybody, I'm a mom, I'm a community member, I'm a churchgoer, I'm fed up. And I feel like Baltimore at this point is in a state of crisis. When everyone does their job, the police investigate, make an arrest, the judge looks at the totality of the circumstances, the criminal records, the egregious nature of a case, and elects to keep an individual incarcerated as opposed to putting them back on the street, it's the prosecutor's job to finalize that investigation and to obtain a conviction. The prosecutor has to go before a jury and convince a jury that the person is guilty. And in the Tavon White case, this happened not once, but twice. They attempted to convince a jury. Meanwhile, you have the Tavon White, who's languishing in jail for 4 years. This is a pretrial detention facility. This is not a prison. So the facility and the amenities, these are for pretrial, prior to going to trial. Meanwhile, this individual has implemented a highly organized criminal enterprise where he's not only controlling what goes on in the jail, but he's controlling what goes on in the street. This is problematic to me because when I was a prosecutor, this was the problem. We faced on a daily basis a culture of distrust. Juries not wanting to convict these individuals, having a lack of confidence in the state's attorney, having a lack of confidence in the police department, having a lack of confidence in the judges. And I feel as if it's the state's attorney's job to fix that. So that's why I'm running.
So,
well, exploring.
Exploring, running.
Correct.
But you're exploring very seriously, obviously. A couple of things that you said. The response from the state's attorney, Bernstein's office, was that they've been working with the federal prosecutor's office. They have people on their team, and that's where they were putting their energies in this, it seems. And that whether the state's attorney was Bernstein or whether it was Pat Jessamy or before that, down to the days of Kurt Schmoke and Swisher and before that,
mm-hmm.
People have always languished in city detention center. We've had this backlog and people staying there for not being able to get bail, sitting there for 6 months, 8 months, 10 months, a year, more waiting trial. Some people on very petty charges. So can you lay that all at Bernstein's feet? And A and B, if you were state's attorney, how would you resolve that?
Well, what I am putting at Bernstein's feet is the fact that they may have been putting their energy into the federal investigation, but they were clearly putting their energy in trying to convict this individual as well. And for me, as a prosecutor, that was the problem. You had to get past this culture of distrust. And I feel like as Bernstein, it doesn't fall on these individual prosecutors. It's not as if they're ineffective or incompetent. It falls on the feet of Bernstein, who is responsible for the administration of justice. His function as a state's attorney is to seek reform and improve the administration of the criminal justice system. He's done absolutely nothing to change the culture of distrust in this city.
So when Greg Bernstein was on the show, he's been on the show several times, one of those times he said that when I asked him questions about reforming the criminal justice system, and it was clear he and Batts were both on together last.
Mm-hmm. That, I heard that show.
You heard that show.
I did.
Thank you for listening.
Of course.
but that he said that his job was to prosecute criminals, that his job is not to reform the system. So if you were state's attorney, if that was a job, that if you won that election, you happened to become state's attorney, then what role would you play in reforming that system? What role would you play, let's say, but let me get more very specifically, there's this whole argument about having lawyers at bail hearings, the initial bail hearing when people go in. That people have been fighting this, people like Doug Colbert and his law students have been fighting this for a long time, that should be a right, and get people out of jail earlier and deal with the bail system. So what role does a state's attorney play in that? What role could you play in that if you were state's attorney?
Well, first and foremost, I did hear your show with Commissioner Batts, and I did hear the current state's attorney's response to your question with regard to prosecution and reform. And I would just tend to disagree. It's the foundation and the element, the duties of a prosecutor is to seek justice, not just merely convictions. So with that, you reforming the criminal justice system. If you find a problem, it's your job as the prosecutor. You are held to the highest duty and highest standards to reform it, to do something about it. And if witness intimidation and victim witness services and a culture of distrust is a problem, then it's your job to try and fix it. How do you do that? You have to build partnerships. What is trust? Trust is one in which confidence is placed. And if there's no confidence placed in you based on your lack of relationship, then it's incumbent on you to build a relationship with the community. Now, firing police, the community liaisons, cutting funds from the victim witness services, inconsistently prosecuting police officers. I mean, these are all determining issues that will affect and sometimes exacerbate the barriers between the community and the state's attorney's office.
So, folks, I'd like you to join us here, 410-319-8888. I'd like to hear what you think about the issues being raised here, your questions for Marilyn Mosby, who may be running against Greg Bernstein if he runs again, or running for state's attorney, and if he doesn't run again, 410-319-8888. You've had a lot of questions for Bernstein when he was on here, tough ones. And let's see what your thoughts are now for Marilyn Mosby, 410-319-8888. So take the recent cases. How would you have handled them any differently? How would you have handled the cases as a former prosecutor? Especially the police-related shootings and killings. How would you have done them any different than he managed them?
I think that it comes down to a perception. And when you have, for example, the Anthony Anderson case,
right,
in which you guys were talking about that the last time that he was on the show,
right,
you have Commissioner Batts, who I think is doing a pretty good job. Yeah, there's a spike in crime, but at the end of the day, he's about community policing. He has these officers actually in the community, getting out of their cars and being vigilant and engaging the community. That's what is important. I think that when Bernstein was on the last time, it was Commissioner Batts he basically found the autopsy report stated that it was a homicide.
Right.
He delivered that autopsy report to the victims of Anthony Anderson. I think that's consistent with what should happen when you're trying to break the barriers of distrust in Baltimore City. What Mr. Bernstein did with regard to Anthony Anderson, I think, is questionable. And I would say that, you know, the Department of Justice think so too. I would leave it at that.
But could you? One of the things people said, then we'll go right to Donald. You're the first caller. We're going to come right to you. Of college, when I follow a question here about that. Some people have argued, and one of the people I mentioned earlier, Doug Colbert, is a law professor at Maryland, would argue that some of these issues, especially around the indictments of police, that some of the proceedings should be much more transparent. That some of the proceedings should be more open to the public about what's going on and not just laid at the public's feet and with a report. I mean, how could you handle things differently than that? Because people said the secrecy is important. I mean, how do you address that?
I think you're absolutely right. I think when you're dealing with the police department, which is an agency that has to have the confidence of a community, you have to have separate agencies. And it has to be a perception that there is separate, that your judgment is not skewed in any sort of way. And I agree that it does need to be more transparent. And I don't agree that that's the case at hand. I think that that's one of the barriers, and I think that it exacerbates what's already there.
Folks, what do you think? Your questions here, 410-319-8888. Donald in Northeast, you're on the air. Donald, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
Very well, welcome.
Yes, sir. And to the lovely young lady. Young lady, this is my question. You just hit upon it. You talked about trust and building a relationship with the community. My question, one of my questions is that why hasn't this present state's attorney prosecuted these police officer cases themselves, opposed to turning it over to the Justice Department or the U.S. attorney to come in to investigate? It's a big problem that exists, that it seems to be a... We talk about the gang that's in the jail, but Baltimore City Police is one of the biggest gangs in Baltimore City, and that hasn't been disrupted or busted up or disturbed in any kind of manner. Basically, they are judge, jury, and executors on the streets, and I mean everyone else in Baltimore City will attest to that. So, if you decide to run, there will be some of those and some of us in the community that will support you because we feel as though this present prosecutor is too close to the police department, and there is no transparency.
Well, I would agree that there really isn't much transparency. Why hasn't he prosecuted the police? I have to distinguish that, you know, as a prosecutor and a former prosecutor for 6 years, there are some amazing police officers out there that risk their lives on a daily basis, and you would not believe how much they put into their jobs. But like every situation, there are bad apples in every bunch. And I think that if you don't get those bad apples out of the bunch, it corrodes the rest of them, the remaining apples. And the perception is that the whole bunch is bad. So I would say that if I decide to run, as far as having bad apples in the bunch, it will be very transparent. They will not be in that bunch.
So one of the things that could come up in an election, people might critique, they say, a lack of administrative experience. Your youth could come up. I'm sure people will raise some of those issues.
Well, I mean, as far as the lack of administrative experience, I think in order to implement what needs to happen and the change that needs to occur, you have to have the experience. You have to be on the ground doing the work. And for 6 years, I was in the jury room doing the work, prosecuting hundreds of cases. I mean, and my overall felony trial conviction rate was well over 80%, which is rather high in this city. But I say all that to say that my youth and my passion and my drive, I don't see it as a hindrance. I think that that's something that will assist me in implementing what needs to happen for this city.
Well, before we go back to the phone, if I get these callers coming in, we're going to get to them. One thing just hit me as you were responding when you said your 80% rate, which is good.
Felony trial,
yeah. Mm-hmm. But we had on this program yesterday four people who had served time in our state prison system, two men, two women, talking about their experiences there. And obviously in the course that what comes up is that people argue that we, and the state attorney's office is part of this, as is all the police and the mayor and everyone else in political office, that we are incarcerating too many people in our state prison system. that part of the thing with what happened with the BGF and the guards is you can't manage a system like that with the amount of people in the prison. So what is the alternative, and what role does the state's attorney play in that? In what are the alternatives to incarceration for people who do break the law, whether it's because of addiction or whatever else? And it's, how do you address that as a state's attorney?
Well, I mean, I think there are several ways to address alternatives to incarceration. I mean, there are a number of diversion programs that could be implemented. One person that I admire is Kamala Harris. And
Attorney General in California.
Yes. And one of the things that she implemented when she was district attorney was the Back on Track program. And this is where, she had partnerships with the business community to get first-time felony non-violent offenders in some sort of reentry program. But it was a partnership with the district attorney's office, and it was sponsored and led by the district attorney's office. And I admire that because, I mean, it gave an individual who was a first-time offender and had the prospect of a felony conviction the chance to change and the chance to change the course of their life. I think that's something that clearly we could use in a city like Baltimore. I'm not talking about the Tavon Whites, but the individuals where reentry into the community and getting a job is still an option. Going to school is still an option. These options at the present time are not there, and it has everything to do with the fact that the current state's attorney, he hasn't been on the ground. He's not in front of a Baltimore City jury. He didn't have that experience. I do, and that's what I bring to the table.
410-319-8888. Let's go to Mike. You're on the air. Hi, Mike. You're on the air. You there?
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome.
Thank you. Hi, Ms. Mosby. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Mike?
Great. I have a twofold question for you.
Sure.
My question is, how do you anticipate unifying the Baltimore City Prosecutor's Office, given the number of, I guess I would call them career prosecutors versus younger prosecutors? And what are your thoughts on how you're going to recruit better talent?
Oh, wow. I like your questions, Mike. with reference to your first question about unifying the Baltimore City State's Attorney's Office with career prosecutors and younger prosecutors, one of the things that I think should happen in that office is that you should have mentors. You need career prosecutors. And I've worked with several, prosecutors in that office that were completely effective and really, really good attorneys. By the same token, you have younger attorneys that need that mentoring. They need that mentorship to help them guide them through, trials and what should happen and what shouldn't happen. So as far as unifying them, if I elect to run, then that's something that's going to be a priority. I want to keep some of my career prosecutors, but as far as the younger prosecutors are concerned, I think that they need them. And I intend to implement some sort of mentorship program. With regard to your second question about recruiting, I actually, before I left the state's attorney's office, I developed an unsolicited recruitment and retention plan for the current state's attorney. And one of the things that I think that we need to focus on is diversity. I think that we need to go to career fairs. We need to tap into the resources at our disposal. Right now, UB, which is one of the largest law firms and law schools in Baltimore City, why don't we have partnerships with them? We, as the state's attorney's office, you need the support needs. And when I was in law school, I did a lot of clinicals. That was how I got my trial experience. These young, bright, talented individuals, there should be partnerships with the state's attorney's office. It's not as if there's no need. So, I mean, as far as recruitment, I think that there's definitely room there.
back to the phones, you don't mind? 410-319-8888. Let us go to Bill, you're on the air. Bill, you're on the air. Welcome.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to make a comment, really.
Sure.
I think that her passion, I agree with her passion and her age is actually a positive. If you look at the new superintendent for Baltimore County, I think his name is Dance, and also the police commissioner for Baltimore City, you know, there are people that are younger, I think, than what they traditionally have appointed to those positions or won in those positions. And I think that the last caller, Mike, actually sort of alluded to the fact that just a general fresh perspective of younger prosecutors makes it's also going to be a positive. And I'll conclude by saying that I think one of the Greg, I think he's definitely vulnerable right now. But one, if I was in her position and decided to run, one of the things I would do is I would get three people on a conference call and have them tell me about the nature, the unique nature of how to win in Baltimore City as state's attorney. And that would be Pat Jessamy, Deuce Sims, and Kerry Smoke.
Thank you so much, Charles.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
410-319-8888. Bill, Charles, you're on the air. Charles, you're on the air.
Yeah, thank you very much. To our candidate for state's attorney, or our prospective candidate for state's
prospective,
attorney.
Prospective, right.
Yes, yeah. Yes, Charles.
yeah, I'm glad. I hope you stay in this. And the other thing is, concerning reforming the present criminal justice system in Baltimore, I'd have to say, given our present bail bond system, so many people are making so much money off of people going to jail that there is no wonder that there's so much corruption in the system. A fundamental aspect, I think, would be to the bail bond system needs to be reformed because bail bondsman is one of the great growth businesses in Baltimore. That stuff sprouts up on a corner like more than corner grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, people are very, very, very much taking advantage of the system to the detriment of all these people going to jail and imperiling, putting their homes and their means of making a living and so forth at risk. I think if you took some of that money out of the system, people would not be so in a hurry to throw so many people in jail off of things that it seems to me the police have better things to do with their time than messing with these guys on the corner selling small amounts of drugs and so forth.
So let me let the
yeah,
Ms. Mosby respond.
I'll listen.
Because we only have like 4 or 5 minutes left in this segment. So
okay.
No, I completely agree with you. I think that there needs to be a way for us to seriously consider the allocation of resources toward a lot. The current state's attorney, you know, just recently, I'm not sure if your listeners are aware, but they just moved from the Mitchell Courthouse to the SunTrust building. We're spending $1.1 million a year for a corporate office space. These resources didn't go towards victim witness services or witness intimidation. These services went towards a corporate office space where we have now added costs, security, janitorial, and storage fees that we didn't have before. So you're absolutely right as far as actually looking at what is a detriment and what needs to be reformed. I completely agree with you, and we're on the same page.
Let's kind of get one more caller in here. I have many questions, but we'll save it the next time. Let our callers have a shot here since they've been calling in like crazy. 410-319-8888. African, you're on the air.
Yes. This question is for your guests.
Okay.
Ma'am?
Yes, yes.
You say you go to church, right?
Yes, sir.
Did God create this type of system? And does God approve of this type of system?
Did God create this system?
Did God create the system that y'all have? You know. Yes or no?
I would say...
You go to church now. Go ahead.
I would say that...
Yes or no?
No,
you go to church?
Just a second. This is not an inquisition. Better answer the question.
There's no laughing matter.
I agree with you. I'm not trying to laugh at you. I think that God created man. Man created the system. No, God did not create this actual system, which is why there are so many inefficiencies and ineffectiveness with regard to the system. That is a making of mankind. And unfortunately, mankind, you're not perfect. So, no, I would say no. You want a definitive answer? No, God did not create this system, which is why it's not perfect.
Can I say?
Thank you, Afghan, for being part of the show. I appreciate the question. So where do you take this from here? I mean, when do you make a decision about whether or not you're going to run for this office?
I think there are a lot of things that need to take place. Clearly, first and foremost, probably money. I mean, the current state's attorney has a lot of money behind him. Unfortunately, I don't believe that I'll be able to outraise him. My goal is not to outraise him, but if I raise enough to get my message out, then I will certainly be running against him.
Well, we'll see how this all unfolds in the next 2 years?
No.
Year and a half.
It's less than a year and a half.
Yeah.
It's June 24th is the primary, 2014.
So, and we look forward to talking to you some more as you make up your mind and keep the conversation going on the air.
Thank you.
It's good to have you with us.
Thank you, Mark.
One of our listeners has tweeted that he thinks that it is a he likes her, but it's a long shot. And maybe it is, maybe it isn't. We'll have to see how this all folds out.
Yes, we will.
So, Marilyn Moser, one last question as we leave here. So does this mean that maybe if you, let's say you ran and won, does that mean you and Nick would run against each other for mayor?
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. I'm just teasing. Marilyn Moser, thank you for being
thank
with us.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
We're going to take a very brief break, and when we return, we're going to look at Bangladesh, the disaster there, how it affects us here in the States, what all that means, and then we're going to talk about Jason Collins and gay professional athletes in the last part of our program. Stay with us. We'll be right back.